podcast machine.
This is my podcast machine. Hey, it's Johnny P again with another episode of CWF Road Diaries. This week I'm in the studio. I'm finally going to try and maybe, I don't know, I'm going to try and maybe edit some of the Boys of Gibsonville documentary. Is it the, yeah, it's the Boys of Gibsonville. I'm here with Kevin Kiernan. I got Kevin here. Hey, Kev, say hi to the podcast world.
I've been ambushed by this podcast.
What's your favorite CWF wrestler?
Oh, my favorite
CWF. You've seen footage. Kevin's seen the footage that I've shot, and he seems when I come back from Gibsonville, the stuff I have. Do you have a favorite moment in CWF history?
Well, the only moment I've really spent much time with was Nick and Trevor Lee. So that's the big match for me.
So your favorite is in slow-mo when Stutzy hugs Mitch Connor from 2008's Weaver Cup win with melodramatic music over it that we somehow made even more ridiculous.
That's probably my favorite moment.
Can you give us a Stutzy impression?
Yeah, I think the dark horse is when he goes low and he goes, "Oh dear."
That's good.
That's
guess what I have on the show this week.
Is Stutzy on it?
No. You don't listen, do you?
No, I don't listen.
I have on the second part of Grant Sawyer with Kane Justice.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. This week, guys, more Grant. Kane is a little more active, a little bit more receptive to answering questions. This week, we talk more about production. What would Grant do with $500,000? It's mostly the hypothetical just dominates the entire episode. And specifically, we talk a lot about the fact that they don't use a hard cam and when and where and why you use hard cams. So it's an interesting look into the production mind of Grant Sawyer. As always, like, look, there's just a little bit of time. Come to the CWF FanCon and come to the CWF Rumble. At the end of the week, you can follow us at FanConCWF. Kev, any parting words before we get into this Grant Sawyer interview?
I'm just wondering, so wait, you go through an exercise with Grant where you just make him fantasize about having a lot of money?
Yeah, I just torture him. I go, hey, you don't have money. What would it be like if you had a lot of money? Wouldn't CWF be so much better? It's basically like people who bullied us on the Q&As about ECW. Like, wouldn't they be the best promotion if they had $10 million? And you're like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's basically me doing that in a more artful way.
That's a very mean exercise.
They're doing fine. How dare you? All right, guys, we're going to jump right into this with a question to Kane. So that's the context. And I'll talk to you after the show. Kane, what's something that people, you're on Twitter all the time. You hear wrestling fans say things. And there's a lot of smart ones, and a lot of people just have crazy fanboy opinions. What is something that wrestling fans don't know about what you have to do in the ring? What's something where you're like, you don't understand, because I don't know, footwork or something?
I don't know.
What's something nobody talks about?
I don't really have that problem as much. Like, I'll have someone say something about me on Twitter, and I just kind of go back and forth with them. Like,
well, you don't have to be mad at them. I'm not talking about whether they're right or not. But what's something that you go, man, people don't talk about this, but this part is important to what I do.
I don't think I get enough credit for what I do, like when I wrestle rookies and stuff.
Okay.
Like when I'm wrestling idiots like Slade Porter, when I'm wrestling good guys like Dominic Guarini, like they say the match with Dominic was good, and like, yeah, it was good, and I feel like they think that's because Dominic was there. And then when I'm having to carry a match with someone like Slade, or if someone else isn't doing what they're supposed to do and I got to do it, like, you know.
You know, I'm staying in the same place. Slade is tonight. If you want to come back.
No, I'll go with him, yeah.
Okay, we'll have that match. Yeah. All right.
Heather can be the referee.
Okay. Now this is a little too inside baseball. All right. Grant. Hold on. Gotta wipe my arms out here.
All right. Yeah, I would expect Kane to pull out the full-blown shoot there.
Yeah.
I'm a shooter, man. That's what I do.
Okay, I'm a rich philanthropist. I'm not, but let's pretend I am, and I come to you and I go like, I never told you, but I have $500,000 I want to invest in CWF,
right.
And I say, don't direct me to, you know, Danny or Jeff, right, because it can only be for production. I'm okay. Very obsessed with the production of this.
Okay.
I'm like a Howard Hughes nutbag in this scenario.
Sure.
What do you do with $500,000 for production? Like, what would you want to invest in?
If I had $500,000 in my everyday life, I wouldn't know what to do. I mean, I would just start off by like, okay, we're gonna, obviously upgrade every camera, everything across the board. You know, we've always at CWF, we've made the most out of what little we have. And no matter what our budget ever was, we always wanted to look better than our budget. And I think we've done a pretty good job with that. So, like, if I have $500,000, I mean, god dang, I guess... I mean, if anything, Danny would build something that makes us look like we're WWE. I don't know. Like, I can't even fathom what Danny would do, like, to build, you know, the visual. I guess we would own our own building. Like, we would just, like...
But it's only for production. That's the scenario. So that...
Well, see, I can't... But the stage is is an element of production.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm...
But the building... Okay, so you can't move the building, though.
We can't move the building?
No, because the building...
Well, the camera's got to go somewhere.
That's true, too. Okay, so in a perfect scenario, like, you're knocking out a wall or something for a different heart...
I thought we were just going to tear down that church next door and just put ours there.
Okay, so you're expanding the hall now. Okay.
Right,
so would you have... if you had more space, would you have, like, a traditional hard cam, do you think?
The hard cam question. Everyone loves asking me about the hard cam question.
I'm not even partial to it, but I'm...
No. Because if you have guys that have done TV, that have never been to our building before, that's one of the common questions. Like, where's the hard cam at? And it feels a little, like, unprofessional to say, well, it's not... We don't really use a traditional hard cam. Because if you've been on TV, like, that just sounds silly. But, like, for the way we do it, it works. I would use a traditional hard cam if we had an elevated tier where fans could kind of line up the wall more as far as the seating goes. Because then, you know, I would, you know how it works. Like, it's what was the Jimmy Hart women promotion?
It was WOW or something?
No. This is the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
They had that catchy theme song.
It's like Dave McClain or something.
It was god awful.
Yeah.
But their hard cam thing was so beautiful because you knew they had fans only on that one side, but it was like wallpapered with fans up the side of that wall. That was, and the camera was a little bit elevated. It was a beautiful hard cam shot.
Steep bleachers?
Yeah. It was a beautiful hard cam shot, and that always stuck with me. And then, I mean, you know, and I've done this dissertation before, but you know, a lot of people don't understand the purpose of a hard cam. If you're shooting a hard cam and it's the blank wall of a gymnasium, it's not visually appealing to the viewer, so why are you even positioning it like that? Because one thing I always liked about the angle, because I always watched the NOAH Japanese promotion in like the early 2000s when they first started up, and every time that bell ring, they would do this great zoom in on the guys. It's kind of like the reverse of the way the Okada Rainmaker is now. Right. You know, they would do this zoom in, and I was like, that'd be cool. So I kind of like, I don't do that element, but I kind of like the angle just because if nothing else, it looks different than everything else you see. You know, and I think there's something to be said for that. Like if you can't do like a hard cam facing people, then, you know, use your hard cam in a way that make you stand out, but at the same time, so you still visually appeal to the audience as opposed to people being like, why am I looking at this empty wall of a gymnasium?
Kane, if I drop you in any time period before, like, say, 2000, and any promotion, where would you want to work?
The answer to this, not to interrupt because it's still your answer and you can ignore what I'm about to say here, but Kane would have to know a wrestler before 2000 to
be able to answer. I was going to say that. So, yeah, I honestly don't know, dude.
He's like,
What do you think? Do you see him in Pancrations?
No, because like, it's not like Kane was going to be like, I think I'd match up good with Frank Gotch, or you know, like you know, that's not Kane's wheelhouse to answer that.
Gotch,
Frank.
Wait, which one was he?
Frank Gotch.
Frank was the turn of the century guy, but Carl Gotch was a guy in like the '70s.
Oh, okay. And, like, well, I was going further. I'm going back to Stanislaus.
Let's say Carl Gotch. Maybe it's closer to 2000.
Like Stanislaus Zabisco or whatever, you know.
So are you like not a hardcore fan? I'm not saying that as a cred thing. I'm just saying it's like,
no, like you, I don't.
Are
I
you
don't,
not deep into the history? You're just like you're like, hey, I do it. I'm good.
Like, I mean, I'm trying to watch old stuff. Like, I'll come over here with Grant. He'll be watching, like, scaffold matches and stuff like that and stuff from the 80s. But like,
there's one good one I've ever seen. It's Coco Beware in Memphis.
This is, we're just talking.
Yeah, we're just talking.
Why in the fuck where scaffold matches best 2 out of 3 falls.
Timers now.
Yeah.
They'll tell you, they're like, yeah, I hate that. I asked for double money.
But I mean, it's like,
double.
You're rolling the dice with one bomb.
You're rolling the dice with your career.
No, yeah. But to
and take, walking,
I mean,
by the way.
I can't sneeze.
I can't even imagine. You take that bump and they're like, well, got to go back up for the second fall.
And by the way, you should really shouldn't that be death selling at that point?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like.
Yeah, you just fail from like, what, 25 feet or whatever that
was? I mean, a lot of that old stuff gets a free pass, but the psychology in that was severely lacking.
So there you have this week's episode. Thanks to Grant Sawyer. Thanks to Kane Justice, who was a little too talkative this week, maybe. I kid because he can back it up, and Kane really is a hell of a guy, despite what they say on the interwebs about him. In all seriousness, thanks to Kevin Kiernan, who I should have said at the beginning of this, for those of you who don't know, is my lifelong friend and creative partner and filmmaking partner. He was in the studio today to consult because it's been 2 months since I've been able to do anything with the Sons of Gibsonville documentary. I've been really held up by real life. I'm taking a bunch of classes at the local community college, doing a lot of other stuff. So I am really trying this weekend just to immerse myself back in the project, which is really, really in my heart of hearts where I'd like to be 24/7 right now. But of course, that's a little difficult. And one of the reasons that's really difficult is because we are planning the first annual CWF FanCon. You can follow us on Twitter at FanConCWF. We have a new Gmail, cwf.fancon@gmail.com. We want to thank pwponderings.com for being the official sponsor of the CWF FanCon. But because we are on the PTBN PWO feed, we should also mention the Place to Be Nation will be represented by the This Week in Wrestling crew. Unfortunately, it's not a full crew. It's going to be Pete from This Week in Wrestling, because Timothy couldn't make it over here. He really did try. He's going to be here sometime in the next year. But Pete will be there doing some podcasting, and you'll definitely hear what's going down. We have a hashtag for the weekend, hashtag CWF FanCon. So if you come, please use it. And look, October 13th and 14th, you got to come hang out with us. It's going to be a meet and greet dinner Friday night starting at 6 p.m., fully catered by Little Italy, which is an awesome local Italian restaurant in the Burlington, Gibsonville, North Carolina area. We got tons of Q&As. Just go to the @FanConCWF handle on Twitter, and you'll be able to read the entire Google Doc, which says everything that's going down. We have lots of guests coming in to do Q&As. We got a very big surprise confirmed that we're really happy about, and I'm not gonna let it out of the bag. It'll just happen naturally that weekend, but we're over the moon about CWF Mid-Atlantic's participation. You should check them out at Twitter at CWF Mid-Atlantic. Check them out on Facebook, search CWF Mid-Atlantic. Their YouTube page, CWFWorldwide.com, takes you right to their YouTube page. Worldwide drops every Wednesday at 9 p.m. It's probably the best episodic wrestling TV show in the business right now. Every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. The man you just heard, Grant Sawyer, does a hell of a job putting that all together. PoddingtonBear.com, that is the man who puts together the music. Check that guy out. He does awesome work. Also, the unofficial, official CWF Worldwide After Show hosted by Joe White is going to be at the FanCon. I should mention that as well. My Twitter handle, @JohnPhilipAvage. That's @JohnPhilipAvage. And Jeremy Bryant, the man co-producing the FanCon with me. Jeremy Bryant can be found @JBryant025. That's @JBryant0, the number 0, and the number 25. All right, next week, guys, it's the final episode for this season. Maybe the final episode ever. I don't know. I doubt it. This was always intended to be a limited series. I'm out of tape after next week. We're going to finish up with Grant and Kane. I'm hoping to record some more stuff at the FanCon and have maybe a 2-week break, and we'll be back up on this feed. But to be honest, I got to run the whole FanCon, so I don't know. It isn't like I don't want to. It isn't like I don't have people who would be willing to sit and do the podcast. We just have to see if timing works out, because I live about 8 hours away from everybody. So we shall see, but I want you all to know next week is going to be our season finale of CWF Road Diaries, and I'll talk to you guys next week.